In the name of one God, the mother hen who hides us in her wing, amen. I love this passage. I love Jesus in this passage saying, "Go and tell that fox for me. I am casting out demons and performing miracles today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will get to him and deal with him." He says this to Herod. Listen. He's so brazen and audacious. It's so satisfying. I love it. His defiant disregard for Herod's is so delicious. Last week, we heard about Jesus's temptation in the desert, and Reverend Rachel, in her sermon, offered a reframe. Instead of thinking of it as a temptation, she invited us to reflect on it as a test, that Jesus is tested in the desert, and through that period of testing, Jesus's purpose and mission is made clear to him and to us, the reader, and to those around him. And with this reframe in mind, I'm hearing the gospel this week through a different lens. It reminds me of a classic movie trope, that moment in a lot of movies when the hero that we've journeyed with finally realizes who they are and what they were made for and what they have to do. They've been through some kind of testing period that has given them the wisdom and experience and skills and confidence that they need to take on this mission and challenge and fulfill their purpose and identity. Some of you may be thinking of such scenes from your favorite movies, and I want to hear them at coffee hour. But for me, the first example that I thought of comes from the zombie horror thriller, They Live. Has anyone ever before at this pulpit quoted a zombie movie? Now, I'm not a fan of zombie movies, but this one line stuck out because it is so iconic and hilariously bad. The hero emerges onto the scene, and being able to see in the crowd that there are zombies and humans, he announces, "I am here to do two things, chew bubblegum and kill zombies. And I'm all out of bubblegum." And then he takes his sawed-off shotgun and starts blasting away all the zombies. And when the hero reaches this point and arrives at that clear sense of call and purpose, it's so satisfying for us, so rewarding as an audience, to see them live into and fulfill their mission. They are clear and focused on what they're called to do, and they have built up the confidence and gained the skills and wisdom they need to achieve it, and arrived at this point where they can triumphantly and confidently say what they're here to do and then do it. We love that moment in any movie. And that is how I hear Jesus' words today. Jesus says, "Go and tell that fox for me, listen." Then he says, "Listen," to Herod. Herod, who at a birthday celebration earlier beheaded John the Baptist. Jesus says, "I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will get to you." That's that satisfying moment where Jesus becomes explicit and clear about what his mission is and announces that he won't be deterred or intimidated or distracted by any one or any force. And what is Jesus' mission? Obviously, not to go take on Herod and destroy the empire. His mission is to cast out demons and perform cures. His mission is to protect, heal, reconcile, comfort, and care for God's beloved people. This mission is clearly stated several times throughout the gospel. When John the Baptist, who was imprisoned by Herod, was facing his own demise, he sent a message to Jesus asking him, "Are you truly the Messiah which I preached about?" And Jesus responds to John the Baptist similarly to how he responds in the Gospel today to Herod. He says, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with skin diseases are healed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised." A simple yes would have sufficed. Even earlier in the gospel, when Jesus first comes on the scene, he proclaims this mission with authority when he opens the scroll reading in Nazareth, and he says, "Because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and set free the oppressed." And even earlier before that, at the very beginning of the gospel in the first chapter, Jesus' mission is clearly articulated by his own mother, Mary, when she proclaims, "He has lifted up the lowly, filled the hungry, sent the rich away empty, and come to the aid of his people in remembrance of God's mercy." Jesus' mission is clear. He has come to comfort and care for God's people. Jesus adopts a metaphor to express his role. The metaphor is that of the mother hen. His mission is to offer comfort and protection, to shelter us under his wing. And this metaphor is an extension of calling Herod the fox. It is an antithetical metaphor. There's Herod the fox and Jesus the mother hen. Sure, the fox is more clever, stronger, fiercer, the aggressor, the villain to the hen. But then the hen's mission is not to kill the fox. The hen's mission is to comfort and protect her young ones, to brood, fox or not. The hen doesn't have to defeat the fox. The hen's calling is to raise up her kin, give them life, love them, empower them, and set them free. The hen is the perfect counter to Herod's fox. The hen's mission is loving, flourishing. The fox's mission is just lunch. Jesus' purpose is to shelter and protect, to comfort and care for God's beloved people. This is his primary calling, his great mission. He has a clear and unfettered focus to follow through and dedicate himself to that mission. And Jesus is all in on this mission, even in spite of the fact that he knows that his own people, who he comes to save, can be led astray. The people of Jerusalem can turn their backs on God, distrusting God's own word and name for them. And when they distrust God, they become prophet killers. And Jesus is well aware. Jesus laments, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills prophets." And even knowing their penchant for prophet killing, Jesus loves them still, shelters them still, cares for them even so. God's love is so faithful, so steadfast, that it can't be deterred, not by Herod and not by prophet killers. He has come to care for and protect his people. And that's what Jesus does for us today. Cares for and comforts us, not to take on the powers and principalities of this world. That great battle has its time and place, in a little book called Revelation, which is for another sermon at another time, probably by another preacher, probably Reverend Patty. Yes, there will be a time when Jesus comes back to defeat all the evil that is in this world, restore all of the good, and take on the chaotic forces, liberating us all to live again as God intended. But for now, Jesus' mission is to comfort and care for God's people. And we can see and feel Jesus' presence right here and now, in the hands and help of the people in these very pews. friends and family and fellow Christians who come to our aid and encourage us and uplift us, and people who may surprise you, even people you may not even know. Today's gospel reminds us that God's love is fearless against the powers of this world. God's love is faithful when we distrust and turn to profit killing, and God's love is focused on loving and caring for us. This passage also begs us a question. What is your mission? Who are you and what are you called to do? What is God calling you to do to show God's love to this world? Your mission is not to go die on a cross in Jerusalem. And it's not to kill zombies. And it's not just to chew bubblegum. Casting out demons? No. Performing cures? Well, for some of you, yes. That is your gift and your charism, and you carry it forth with God's love. For some, it is giving others an encouraging word, helping someone make sense of a confusing situation, offering a shoulder to cry on, or a helping hand. For some, it is raising your kids well. For some, it is brooding like a mother hen, taking care of the church or your classroom or your home or our city, and making each place a safe place, care and love that comes from the divine love of the mother hen. Whatever your calling is, may you approach it with the same brazen audacity of Jesus taking on Herod. And to any object or person that comes in your way from fulfilling your purpose, may you say to them, listen. For some of us, we're still discerning our calling, and Lent is a great time to do that. We are always in discernment about what our mission is and what God is calling us to do to show God's love in the world. And it changes over time. So don't feel like if God has called you to do something and you've done it, God is just going to let you sit around for a while. God doesn't let us take it easy. God is ever calling us to new missions and new ways of showing God's love to the world. So whether you're spending Lent sheltering in the comforting care of the mother hen, or discerning what your mission or next mission will be, or if you're spending it standing on the brink of that great quest and challenge to fulfill your purpose and identity, I hope that Lent becomes a season for you that you draw ever close to God, because God is brazenly and audaciously drawing ever close to you. Amen.